Welcome to the Successful Male Podcast. My name is Ron Mahotra. I'm a wealth, success, mindset, and leadership coach and the founder of the Successful Male Movement. In the Successful Male Podcast, we bring inspiring achievers who will help you unlock your inner game changer that wants to play big. The Successful Male Podcast is a show where we highlight the accomplishments of men who are doing amazing things with their life. The show where we share the stories, ideas, and philosophies of highly successful men who went after their goals with courage. The show where we highlight those men who use their highest vision to bring value to others. And the show that seeks not only to motivate and inspire, but transform, so you too can think big, live bigger, and lead with your highest vision. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I hope you find this episode inspirational. Welcome to the Successful Male Podcast. This is your host, Ron Malhotra. I'm constantly on the lookout for men that are doing amazing work. And today I have the pleasure to introduce you to my new guest, who is a person that has impressed me with his consistency and his writing skills. Nicholas Cole, or he likes to be referred as Cole, is a person I came across the first time on Medium. And there's not many people that impress me with their writing skills. And I was actually amazed at the ability that Nicholas had in terms of being able to provide exceptional insights that get people to think. He has had over 50 million views on his content. So he's clearly somebody that is doing amazing things. He's been published on pretty much all mainstream media. And he is somebody that is an entrepreneur, and his company is called Digital Press. So I'd like to have the pleasure of welcoming Nicholas. Welcome to the Successful Male Podcast.
Thanks very much for having me.
Now, before we got into this, we were just talking about, your life stage, because I'm always interested in knowing, I know it's something that most people are not very comfortable talking about with their age, but I like to kind of know, why is it that very few people are able to tap into their potential and do this kind of amazing work? Especially early on in their life stage, and you're relatively young, and I know that when I was your age, I was very lost, and so many men out there are so lost in their 20s. But yet, it appears that you've not just tapped into your zone of genius, but now you're using it to make such an impact. Tell me a little about your background. How did you stumble across this, or is this something that you deliberately did you go through a process and discover what your purpose and passion was?
Yeah, so I'm 28 right now. I actually just turned 28 last month. So I still consider myself really young, especially the fact that I started Digital Press about a year ago. We just hit a year old, and we went from me and my co-founder Drew to up to we're at 17 full-time employees now. So I still consider myself very young, especially for also starting to build a company and things like that. But I think just in terms of what you had asked and how, because I run into this too, a lot of people will read my stuff and they'll ask, how they can do what they love, or how they can take more control of their life, or how they can turn their passion into something that they can live off of or make a profit from. And the truth is that I've been doing this and just kind of living this way for a really long time now. It's always very easy to see things when they start to move very quickly, and to kind of, it seems like it happens overnight, right? But what a lot of people don't see is the fact that I've been writing for 10 years. I was a blogger when I was 18 years old, 17 years old. And I had one of the first internet famous gaming blogs back when I was, a pro World of Warcraft player and part of that whole community. Like we were a bunch of competitive gamers, and that's how I discovered my love of writing. And I've been doing that since I was 17, and now it's a decade later. And so I've learned about writing on the internet, and I've learned about the style that attracts people and how to write things that are fast paced and keep people's attention. And I've learned about building an audience, and I've learned about dealing with people leaving comments and, saying ridiculous things. Like all of these things are lessons that I learned along the way. And so in terms of being able to figure that out at a young age, the biggest thing that I see is just as you get older, that's when people start to make decisions for themselves. That's when it's like usually in people's 30s, that's when people are like, oh, I'm going to stop hanging out with the people that aren't doing anything for me. I just happened to learn that at a much younger age. And so I think I've been a lot more protective of my time.
But what strikes the most amazing thing that about you that strikes me is that it's not just the fact that you've learned it. You are very consistent in the application of what you do. So the thing that I've observed about you and I instinctively know to be true is that you walk your talk consistently. And I think there's so many people, you know, information is so easily accessible, but there's very few people that actually have a track record of applying information consistently. And I think your character comes across, you know, for anyone that is in this space. And, you know, a lot of people think that it's easy now to stand out in the online world because you can just quickly build a profile. I think it's getting harder because anyone can do it. There's very few that are going to stand out. And what the key quality that I feel is important to stand out is that consistency, the ability to make mistakes and then consistently course correct. But how did you find the courage to do that? Because, you know, there's so many people will look at you and go, well, you know, I'll start to put content as well. And there's so many people that are trying that. But the ability to consistently produce content, how do you do that? I mean, what is this your zone of genius? I mean, are you a writer by background, or is this something that you've evolved and grown into?
Yeah, I mean, just speaking on that, a lot of people that are interested in building audiences for themselves or standing out, like a lot of them are digital marketers, you know, or a lot of them see writing as just a piece of this bigger puzzle that they're trying to figure out. But for me, I am a writer. I consider myself a writer. I went to school for creative writing. I've been writing and doing projects since I was a teenager. You know, I was, like I said, I was a blogger. I've been a columnist. Like I love to write. And so I think that's the difference, is most people look at this, if you want to call it this game of, you know, standing out online, they go into it going, how do I build the biggest following the fastest? And when I went into it, I really didn't care about building a following. What I cared about was my art and my craft. And I hoped that in mastering my craft, I would build an audience second. That was my second priority. But the first was actually caring that I was doing something worthwhile in the first place. So to me, that's the biggest, I mean, really what we're talking about is it doesn't even really have to do with, you know, being an influencer, being a thought leader or anything. Just in life, it's the difference between someone walking into a passion and going, I want the reward at the end, and versus the person that starts it and goes, I want to master this thing that I care about. And then you get the reward as a result.
It's such an important point that you make. You're right. Most people are just aiming for they want the destination. They don't necessarily want to, they don't want to climb. They just want to get to the top of the mountain. But, and your intention, I mean, you talk about the intention, your intent was to master your craft. And it's so important. I think people are losing their ability to do deep work and to specialize in something. And I think it's becoming increasingly rare to see people that are specializing in their craft. And I think there's a difference in just, as you said, you've actually earned your stripes by mastering a skill first, rather than just aiming for the accolades and the fame and the popularity that goes with it. So what is the solution? I mean, there are people that have the skill, you know, and going, well, you know, I innately know that I've got a purpose and passion for something like this. And what advice would you give somebody that wants to start out on a similar journey to yourself?
Well, I think the thing to remember is that it really, and I've believed this since I was a little kid, it really does not matter what your pursuit is in life, as long as you treat it a specific way. And I think what's challenging, you know, for example, with writing, I think there's a lot of people that see what I've done with it and see it only in that context. But again, what they don't see is, you know, like I started playing classical piano when I was 5. And I did that for a decade and a half. That taught me a ton of lessons. You know, I played sports growing up. I played hockey all through high school. I went from never playing a MMORPG before to being one of the highest ranked World of Warcraft players in the world. I, you know, went from being a sick and skinny adolescent to becoming a bodybuilder. Like, I've had all these different passions, and every single one has involved starting at the beginning, not knowing the rules of the game, you know, you're at ground zero, and then figuring out how to get to whatever that top level is that I set for myself. And to me, when I reflect on all those different journeys, it's shown me that once you do it with one thing, you can apply the same method to anything else in life. And I really believe it's the reason why I was able to go from, you know, gaming to bodybuilding to writing to entrepreneurship. Like, it's all just, they're all just games with the same rules. And some of the things that I've realized, I think there are three really important things that stay the same no matter what your aim is. I think one is the simple fact that if you're consistent and patient, that it takes time. Like, even playing piano as a kid, I didn't start playing at 5 and then instantly, you know, get to play Mozart and Beethoven. Like, I had to learn my scales and I had to learn all these different things. So once you experience that for a decade and a half with one thing, you walk into the next realizing, like, okay, I'm starting at ground zero again with my scales. So I need to learn this first before I move on to the next thing. And so that's why it's like, just force yourself to do it, to do the path once with one thing so that you understand that journey so that you can apply it to the next thing and the next thing. The second being that you have to be surrounded by people that are doing the same thing that you are. So in every one of those passions of mine, I always ended up finding a community. Like, when I was a gamer, I consistently jumped from server to server so that I could play with the best players that I could find. And every time I outgrew a circle, I would leave and I would go find a new one, because I saw the value of spending time with people that had mastered the thing that I was trying to master. And then three is just this idea of, you know, I like to call it practicing in public, like, especially with writing or with music or with any sort of expression. You can't just do it in your apartment or in, you know, like, by yourself in your room and expect to know what's working and what's not, because you're sitting in a vacuum. So part of, I think, what has allowed me to grow so quickly in a lot of these different domains is I've always looked for ways to practice in public. So my everyday writing, most people who say, I want to become a writer, they just write by themselves in their room. They don't ever share their work. For me, I did the opposite. I wrote every single day online on Quora, or, and then I, you know, recently then switched over to Medium or all these other places where I could have external feedback. I could have people point things out and go, I really liked that article, I hated that article. And that showed me what was working and what didn't. And then I could adjust and grow and learn from there.
Wow. So the first thing you said was, it's the skill is this, it's not about the skill, it's about the mental muscle. So build the mental muscle to be able to learn and develop a skill. Second thing you mentioned is to surround yourself with like-minded people. So be a part of a community of people that are doing the same thing. And the third one is, don't experiment in your head, take it to the market. I mean, those are, they are very specific points. And you know, it makes sense, because they're the three things that people seem to breach a lot. But the mental muscle, I want to go and visit that aspect that you said. You know, this, you've started a number of things and you went through the same process and the rules are the same. What are the rules?
I think the rules are just the fact that, well, for one, on the learning perspective, it's the process of going from conscious to really more like instinctual action. So for example, when you first start playing a video game, right? Like, you have to teach yourself, or you have to train your brain to remember that, you know, when you use your pinky finger on this key, it triggers this ability. And you have to, it's a very conscious process. But the more that you do it and the more time you spend with it, all of a sudden, then you don't have to think consciously, I want to perform this ability, so I have to click this key. It just becomes a natural thing. And that's when creativity starts to happen, is once you're no longer consciously making the decisions and you're acting more out of instinct, that's when you start to experience flow. Same thing with music, right? Like, if you're playing a chord and you have to consciously tell yourself it's this note, then this note, then this note, you're not creative yet. So understanding that, that happens with sports, that happens with music, with gaming, with writing, even with things of, like, very business oriented, like even entrepreneurship. When you're first starting out, you're really teaching yourself how the whole business world works, and you're not able to really think creatively. But once you understand the landscape and essentially how things get built, then that's when your mind can start to wander and you can start asking the what if questions. So I think A, just understanding that learning process and realizing that you're working toward moving beyond the conscious. You want to be more in the instinctual element. And then second is realizing that everything is a competition, everything. And every game is based on who can understand the rules of that game and play that game better. And you take like becoming an influencer as an example, right? Like a lot of people reduce that down to this person got lucky or, you know, this person has a big ad budget or whatever. But the truth is that you're really only competing over a few different elements. You know, you're competing over like topic choice and whether those are interesting things people are searching for. You're competing in terms of personality and whether you're actually different, like truly different, or if you just sound like everybody else. You're competing over depth. You know, how in depth do you go into topics and is that what your audience wants? Like each one of those things is what you are competing over. So a really great way of illustrating it would be like, imagine you taking this podcast and me starting a podcast. If I wanted to compete, I would understand what topics you're covering. And then I would have to ask myself, how am I going to compete with that? Am I going to take the same topics and explain them better? Am I going to cover a wider range of topics? If you're doing podcasting, should I be doing video? Like, can I execute video better than you can execute podcast? It's all a competition. And I think that's where my early experiences as a gamer really taught me to think that way. And now whenever I start something, the first thing I go do is look at everybody else that's doing it. And I inherently start asking, why is what they're doing working and how am I going to compete?
Yeah, which is the essence of thought leadership. But what is fascinating to me is how clearly you articulate and break down the processes that you adopt and you apply. And, you know, I love what you said about learning. And I think for a lot of people, the point of maximum resistance is in the beginning when the process is still very conscious, because that's the hardest process. I mean, once it's obviously becomes unconscious and you unconsciously become incompetent, then it becomes a bit easier. But in the beginning, it requires a lot of thinking skills. And I want to know, because it's evident to anybody that is going to listen to this podcast, I think it becomes very clear to me that you are a very clear thinker. You have in your mind, you have a lot of clarity as to how things work. You have processes. And obviously that didn't just happen overnight. It's because you think. Are there any tips that you can give? And look, I understand. I'm generally not a person that is about tips and tactics, but because of your exceptional skill in this regard, I'd like to know, are there any tips or tactics in regards to how people can have the ability to be a deep thinker or to train the mental muscle around the initial work, which is where there is so much resistance because you're learning a new skill or you're learning a new craft? How do you overcome that initial resistance?
So a long time ago, when I was really into bodybuilding, there was a bodybuilder, his name is Kai Greene, and I watched a documentary on him. And, you know, he's one of the most successful, most, you know, recognized bodybuilders in the world. And I was fascinated by his process because he was very, very deliberate with everything that he did. And in the documentary, he's explaining how everybody asks him, you know, what's the secret and what supplements should they take and what tricks should they use in the gym to get bigger faster? And his answer was really simple. And he said, look, I can give you all the tips and all the tricks and I can tell you what supplements and all of that. But the truth is that none of it is going to matter if you can't get down the one very basic foundational element, which is the fact that in bodybuilding, everyone thinks it's all about the gym. And in reality, it's all about the food. And if you're not eating the amount of food that you need to eat every day, you are not going to grow, period. And I experienced this. I went through it firsthand. And so what he's explaining is the supplements, none of it matters. What you need to master is the simple habit of getting your meals in every day. And that comes down to purely just like routine and practice. And I think where a lot of people, they go astray because they're looking for the hack, or they're looking for the tip, you know? But for me, writing is a perfect example. Like I spent a lot of time teaching myself digital marketing tactics, and here's how funnels work, and here's how to build an email list, and here's, you know, how to optimize for headlines and keywords. And the truth is that all of it comes second to I wrote every day. And that's literally it. And none of what I've experienced right now in my life would have been possible if I hadn't just deployed the very simple habit of I'm going to write every day on Quora. That's it, just because you're accumulating hours of practice. So I think the hardest thing for people, and I like sharing this because it's not like I wake up every day and I'm 100% sure of myself, or that I don't question myself too. Of course I do. But the difference is that even the times that I question myself, I still force myself to do the one thing I said I was going to do, which is just, I'm going to write something on Quora today. And it might be awful. It might be great. It might go viral. It might get 300 views. None of that is what's important. What's important is that I continue to practice the habit of doing it. And I think that's the universal thing, is if you're not going to get that right away. You're probably going to mess that up for a really long time, and you're going to skip days, and you're going to think it doesn't matter, and you're going to deviate. You're going to look for hacks and tips and tricks. And eventually, if you keep asking yourself, did I do the one thing that I needed to do today enough times, you will get in the flow of it. And then when you get in the flow, you'll see the result. And then once you see the result, you'll probably mess it up again. And then you'll have to remind yourself, oh yeah, in order to get that result the last time, I just did the one very simple thing.
Now I understand what you mean by the rules. So it's just coming back to habits and consistency and not looking for hacks. And I think we are in a world now where there's so many people and marketers that are offering hacks and promising hacks. And I think that's where people get distracted, but it's all just coming back to the basics and mastering the key principles. Well, congratulations. I mean, it's really awesome to see that you have so much clarity, and you come from a place of principles, and your results speak for themselves. What would you say if I said to you, what is your underlying philosophy in life? I mean, what drives you? Is there something that you can talk about?
I think looking at all of the different things that I've become interested in, what drives me is I'm just curious. Every time I pick up something new, it's because I, for whatever reason, I'm curious about it, and I want to become that thing. And then I go and I immerse myself in it, and I become it, and I learn about it. And then at a certain point, I hit a threshold, and I'm like, all right, do I want to continue? Did this solve for my, you know, creative itch? Did I scratch that creative itch? And sometimes I go, I've learned a lot, but I want to push further, and I keep going. Or sometimes I go, I've exhausted this, and I did what I set out to do, and I'm on to the next one. And, you know, gaming, bodybuilding, those are all perfect examples. Like I remember being a teenager, and I really thought that I was going to be a pro gamer. That's what I wanted my life to be. And then I got there, and I was like, okay, this is the ceiling. You know, now I have to defend this for however long I want to be part of it. And I got bored of it. I wasn't interested anymore. And so I left and moved on to the next thing. Same thing with bodybuilding. You know, I like took it to the nth degree, completely changed my body. I was in that industry. I was like, well, next step is for me to compete. And I looked around and realized that everyone around me, like the next step was to do steroids. And I had to ask myself that question. It's like, is that what you want? And I was like, nope. I learned what I wanted to learn. I got from this what I wanted to get from it. Now I'm curious about something else. And now in my life, I'm curious about building a company. You know, that's what's driving me, is I want to know what it's like to build something and to have that many people part of it. And I think understanding what drives you from an intrinsic place instead of an extrinsic place is really, really important, because what drives me is my curiosity, and I get interested in things because I want to be part of them, or I want to build them. But a lot of people don't think about it that way. They think about it like, I want to be part of this because if I'm famous, then I'll feel good about myself. Or if I make a certain amount of money, then I'll be good. And that's, none of those are true ever.
You know, what's really interesting, I must share this with you. It's hard to categorize you based on what you do because you do so many things. But despite that, I feel connected with who you are. I can feel the essence of the person and the man that you are. But if I challenged you and I said to you, give me one word, just one word that describes or encompasses who you are or what you do, what would you say?
I'm a writer. And that's what I keep going back to, is the fact that when I was a pro gamer, I wrote about it. When I was into bodybuilding, I wrote about it. When I was, you know, making music, I wrote. When I wanted to write, I wanted to build an audience around my writing, I wrote. When I wanted to start a company, it's a writing company. Like, it's always for me pointing back to writing. And that's because from my perspective, I do not consider myself a digital marketer or like a content writer. I think that is just so undervaluing and missing what it is that I'm about. And for me, writing is the connection to your truth. That is how I express myself, and that is how I share what I know and what I learn and what I feel. And so, yes, I'd like to think that my experiences in gaming and all of that, like they obviously taught me a lot about how to succeed with it, or how to build an audience, or how to go viral, or how to think about it like a game. But it's really, really rooted in, this is how I express myself.
That's amazing. You know how I would have described you? So I would have actually gone, I would have gone beyond your writing, and I would have gone, you're a sharer. And the reason you're such a good sharer is because whatever you experience, you have the ability to break down the process and then articulate it in a way that people can understand and apply. So you're very good at engaging people by sharing your experiences. And I think, and that's, you know, I mean, because I was trying to go beyond what you do to try and capture the essence of who you are. And I'm thinking, what is the word that would describe everything? Because you're an entrepreneur, you're a writer, you're teaching people thought leadership. So there's so many things that you do. And I'm thinking, well, what's the broad one word that kind of captures what you do? And for me, it's just the fact that you're such a brilliant sharer. You know, if there's such a word called sharer, you're just fantastic at taking your experiences, and you have so many different varied experiences and breaking them down and then sharing it. And you obviously do it through the medium of writing. So thank you so much. I'm absolutely inspired, and I feel invigorated by this conversation. I am impressed by the clarity of thought that you've certainly raised this the bar and the standards when it comes to writing. And then through your own disciplines, I think you've raised the bar with commitment. And so, you know, you're a fantastic role model. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. People who want to connect with you and want to find out more about your work, whether that's your book or the services that you offer, or they just want to follow your content, how can they do that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I thank you. How you vocalized that and verbalized it was really unique. And I think that does touch on what I aim to do. Because in everything, I feel like I'm very interested in figuring out how it works for myself, but then I feel equally as compelled to want to give it to the next person. So I think you captured that really well. And yeah, in terms of work, you know, Quora is where I write a lot, Medium, my personal website, all of it's, you know, my site's nicholascole.com, and all my socials, nicholascole77. So I always encourage people to reach out. You know, I respond to every email I get. And also, I really enjoy hearing what people connect with. That's why I do what I do. So yeah, I really appreciate you having me on the podcast.
It's my pleasure. And for people that are listening, if you've been following me, my work, or you've been following The Successful Male, I highly recommend Nicholas. There's only a couple of people that I follow, and you're one of them, and I enjoy reading your content. So I just certainly want to endorse your work. It is of high quality, and it's certainly thought-provoking. So thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast.
I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.